don't.
The basic.
So, good evening. September 19th, 2018, in compliance with the Open Public Meeting Act, this is a regular meeting of the Township Committee. The meeting notice has been posted at the Municipal Building and distributed to the Hunterdon Review, Courier News, the Express Times, the Hunterdon County Democrat, and the Star Ledger. Oh, y'all please rise for the flag salute, followed by a moment of silence for our servicemen and women. Pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Item of business is presentation of the minutes from the regular and executive session of September 5th, 2018. Any comments, corrections?
I just corrected my name, one spelling, that's it.
Motion to approve.
Nobody else is in. I'll make a motion to approve the minutes of both the executive session and the regular meeting from September 5th, 2018.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Next, we will open to public comment, limited to agenda items only. There will be separate public comments on the three ordinances being considered tonight. And just a reminder, this meeting is recorded and posted on the town's website. Is there a motion to open to public comment?
Make a motion to open a public comment for ordinance number 2008.
Nope, this is just limited to agenda items.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're talking about ordinance.
I know.
I'll make a motion to open the public comment, limited agenda items only.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. If any member of the public would like to make a comment, limit to the agenda items.
You said we'll be at a lot of time to ask questions at the time these ordinances?
And each of the ordinance will be a public hearing. Yep.
All right. Thank you.
Seeing no one coming forward, is there a motion to close the first public
comment? So moved.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. So now we start the first ordinance 2018-07, introduced at the last meeting. First item would be to open to a public hearing on this. This is the ordinance modifying the police department rules, particularly to allow random drug testing.
Okay. I'll make a motion to open public comment for ordinance number 2018-07.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Anyone from the public like to comment on ordinance 2018-07, modifying Chapter 77, Police Department, Article 1, Section 77-4, Rules and Regulations? Seeing none, is there a motion to close the public hearing?
There's a
handle. Oh, sorry. Sorry.
What is that?
Yep. We introduced some of this last. The new Attorney General under the new governor has put forth new regulations specifically related to random drug testing and some other regulations. And in order for our police department to carry out those new requirements, we need to modify the ordinance of our police regulations.
All right, thank you.
So did we have the motion to close public comment? I don't
so moved.
So.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Any discussion from the committee, or is there a motion to accept and adopt ordinance 2018-07?
Make a motion to adopt ordinance 2018-07, amending Chapter 77, of the Police Department.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Next ordinance that we have before us is Ordinance 2018-08, creating an Internet Exchange Zone, which would be here in the Lebanon Township Municipal Building parking lot. First order would be to open this to a public hearing.
I'll make a motion to open up Ordinance 2018-08, Internet Exchange Zone, to public comment.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Ordinance number 2018-08 is now open to public comment. That was just because the recording won't have caught it. That was Bernie crying.
What is it? What is the ordinance?
Okay. Sorry. I didn't know Okay. This is, with the growth of internet commerce, residents are looking for a safer place to meet other people that they, on the internet, might exchange, want to exchange a product, or not a product necessarily, but something that they want to sell on the internet. And as our police chief said, rather than meeting behind the gas station or at inviting a stranger to your house, the idea is outside of the building here, we'll designate, paint an area that says this is the internet exchange zone. It'll be under 24-hour video surveillance, so if something happens, we can go back and get evidence. To be very clear, as we noted last time, there will not be police on call at all times. There will no one will actually be observing it, but we feel it's a safer way to allow people to exchange product or things that they want to sell with strangers than currently exists. Sorry, thanks.
Ron Mikowski, Rocky Run Road. I think it's a good idea, too. My only question is, does that open us to any liability?
The designation here in the ordinance creation is performs a service. It puts people on notice. There's actually nothing that would prevent this from occurring on public property anyway. So the designation of it in and of itself doesn't increase our liability. The committee was concerned that we get sort of dragged into these transactions. We've addressed those to the extent we can. You know, we certainly don't warrant any of these items, and we made it clear that they're not eyes on this transaction 24/7. So those concerns were weighed, and we took the revisions or the action to make it as limited in that regard and address your concern as much as we could.
The only thing is the way I understand it, then, let's just say you didn't have that zone. A couple of people got together. Yeah, we'll meet at the municipal building. Somebody got hurt. We'd be the same liability just because it's private.
Correct. I mean, I don't want to misstate it that there's no potential liability. There's always potential liability. And, again, somebody gets out of their car and falls in a hole in the parking lot, that I don't want to be somebody to say, well, we were told there would never be any liability. So the measures have been taken to limit it as much as possible in any exposure.
So we're not creating any additional?
No, I don't believe so at all.
Thank you.
Are other towns doing this?
They're cropping up around, around the whole country, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Any other public comment? Seeing no other public comment?
I'll make a motion to close public comment.
I'll second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Any discussion from the committee? Or is there a motion to adopt Ordinance 2018-08?
I'll make a motion to adopt Ordinance 2018-08, Internet Exchange Zone.
I'll second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Next, Ordinance 2018-09. Ordinance to require consent for a resident, consent to enter a residence while performing township duties. Is there a motion to open to public comment?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. This time, if there are any comments or discussion from the public.
Ron Mikowski, Rocky Run Road. Yeah, I always thought you required consent to enter anybody's property. What changed? Or what's changing?
You want to or?
In essence, it's a codification or a recitation in our code, our local code, of what you just stated, protections already afforded by state law and whatnot. So it will put into our code and be distributed internally to make sure that these policies are followed. It's not truly a creation of new rules of engagement, so to speak, but just ways in which they're to be carried out.
One other thing it adds, it came to our attention that our employees, for example, don't have ID cards. You know, the meter reader has more ID than someone going to enter someone's house, so we're putting in the ordinance as well that will require and supply those ID cards. And also, given another side benefit of this is, given next year when we have the revaluation and we will have contract assessors coming to every residence in the township, this allows us to specify in that contract that they'll follow our township codes. And
that was something we want to consider and insert it before the procurement is done, so that the vendor is aware and factors that into any cost proposal. We don't get something after the fact, so they know that they're bound by the to this coming in and when they make a bid.
This doesn't override the homeowner's right to consent or
not? No.
No. And it doesn't preempt that. And like I said, in most essence, it actually just restates that.
Thank you.
Jeff Thompson, 312 Jefferson Lane.
Parker Kelly, same.
First question is enforcement of the ordinance. I guess to the council. Who enforces it? So you have an ordinance that says they can't go into someone's house. How do we enforce it if they do?
Again, it starts with acknowledgement and distribution of it. If there's an actual violation of the policy, it would be handled just like any other personnel dispute or an infraction that we deal with. It would vary somewhat depending on the person's position within the township and if they had a collective bargaining agreement, or if they were a statutory employee, or both, or if they were an outside vendor. Again, our contract with an outside vendor would speak to this language and would consider appropriate recourse and who would be designated for that with the vendor for us to deal with. To be handled internally for employees as a discipline issue.
My next question would be, what is the homeowner's recourse? Like, the whole reason we're here is because we had an issue. I had an issue at my house involving someone from the borough entering my residence when my 13-year-old daughter said my mother wasn't home. This is why this is on the books. My problem is it looks like we're writing an ordinance for stuff that is pretty much really internal. A. B. What's the recourse for someone at the house who says my parents aren't home, but they don't know enough to say, but don't come in? And we'll use this scenario. My 24-year-old son is home, and someone knocks at the door and says, I'm from so-and-so, I'm here to inspect, and they're asking to come in. He doesn't know better. He lets them in. Shouldn't the individual at the door have to say to the resident, you do not have to let me in. You are not the homeowner or the renter. You are a relative of that person, and here's my card, and please call me and come back. I think as the borough should be advising the homeowner that you don't have to come in, because they don't have to come in at that time anyway.
To address the first issue you raised, the goal, well, what I understand to be the goal is to provide this in advance to reduce and or prevent instances that you're describing. And the secondary purpose for us is, while it is codification of mostly existing state and constitutional law, that it gives us a clear path with regard to situations that can occur. And by that I mean to say that it's not ambiguous, and that this is township policy, and therefore, when we have discipline issues, and I don't want to singularly speak to this type of discipline issue, but whenever we have any type of disciplinary issue, there's always a threshold issue of show us where the conduct is prohibited. And that may seem elementary in this situation, but this is an even stronger baseline for us, the committee, to act in that enforcement if there is a violation or a perceived violation of it. The issue with regard to notice of the rights is something that will have to be addressed, and we're in the process of addressing it through policy, through direct specific instructions. The issue you raise about perceived ownership or renters, that's an issue. Obviously, there's absentee landlords. There's abandoned or unoccupied premises. There's a lot of varying issues that could present at the door, other than the individual homeowner always being home. And I think you've made that point, and there's a myriad of possibilities, and we are addressing those and trying to get a comprehensive overview of that. That's a difficult issue to simply state that someone who's not the owner doesn't have the ability to consent, and how the individual employee or subcontractor would handle that. But that has been made note. It was noted, I think, at our last meeting, and you've restated that tonight.
So basically, everything's being handled as a policy or procedure inside the borough, and the ordinance is for what?
The specifics of interaction is being dealt with by further policy. But the purpose of the ordinance, again, is to make it very clear and unambiguous to anyone who wears our uniform or I shouldn't say that colloquially, but that acts on our behalf, that these are the rules of engagement, that you're being made very clear to you, whether you understand it, if there was any vagueness to it before, there is not now. Here's what we expect. Here's how it's to be handled. And, it goes further, and it tells you what you do if you don't seek, if you are unable to gain entry. So that the employee has guidance. There's again, exception if an employee sees something of danger or threat to an individual or somewhat, because we don't want to go so far the other way and have somebody say, I saw something, I did nothing because I didn't want to violate the policy. Putting the ordinance in place, again, gives us a clear threshold, a clear jumping off point if there is a violation. It makes it much more difficult for a person who would violate it to come in here and say, I didn't know what the standard was, I didn't know what the law was, and therefore you can't hold me accountable. I thought I had the perceived authority to do what I did. And that's what the whole purpose of the ordinance is. Every issue we deal with an employee, it's much easier when we say, this is what you did, this is your conduct, and this is the ordinance, this is the regulation that you violated. Now either explain yourself or here's what we need to do in response to your violation of that ordinance.
So is the ordinance going to contain something for us, the residents, to read that's going to say you, as the resident, have the right to refuse a borough inspector who shows up at your door unannounced? Is there something in that so that homeowner is going to know that they have a right to say to the tax collector, no, you can't come in?
Well, I think the code is obviously a public document. This ordinance is a public document. Section 5 spells out what recourse there is on behalf of the township if consent is not granted. If an owner of a private residence refuses to grant consent to somebody performing their official duties, there has to be a warrant. So it's spelled out in the ordinance.
I understand that part of the counselor. Does the resident know that they can say no? That's the question.
So
when the tax collector knocks on the door and says, I want to come in and see, does the resident know that they can say no? I need you in my house.
Well, I would say that would vary, certainly. I'm sure there are people that would not know what their rights were.
So if we're going to write an ordinance, why don't we put in there that says the homeowner has the right to refuse a borough official from conducting an unannounced inspection of their residence?
Well, again, I'm not going to dispute what you're saying. I'm just going to say that the wording of the ordinance does acknowledge the right of the resident to not grant consent.
It says the resident has the right not to grant consent to the borough official who's conducting an unannounced inspection.
It spells out the recourse if the person doesn't
grant
consent.
Do you have the ordinance with you?
I have it right in front of me, yes.
Can you read the part where it says the homeowner has the right
to I'm saying, refuse. I didn't say that. I said it speaks to the recourse if consent is not granted. I'm saying
that's the recourse for the borough official if consent
correct.
Is not granted.
Understood.
Not the recourse for the homeowner who has a right to say no. That's the question
understood.
I'm getting. If you're going to write something and it's going to be an ordinance that's going to be enforceable, I think the residents have a right to know that they have certain rights. One is that people can't illegally trespass on your property, on your house, which is what occurred with me. Secondly, is that the homeowner has a right to say, this is unannounced, I don't want you here. If I'm conducting a building permit, there's phone numbers, you can call me. You call me, I set an appointment up. Here comes my electrical inspector. He shows up at the time we arranged through an email or whatever. But when someone shows up unannounced and says, I'm the electrical inspector, I am here to do an inspection, and someone other than the two homeowners or the two renters that are doing the work is standing there, they don't know whether they could say yes or no. And the point I'm getting is if we're going to write a law, then why don't we put something in the law that protects the homeowner so that everyone now, after this is passed, can get a copy of this and know that, hey, I never knew I had the right to tell the toxic collector they can't come into my house. I'm willing to bet that 80% of your residents don't know that they can do that.
I can't dispute that either way, sir. I certainly can't.
We'll take that up in committee discussion after public.
Sure.
Then.
Sure.
I just think there should be something in there that's protecting us that we know that if it's not announced. Go ahead, wait to your friend. So what I'm saying is if the residents don't know that, then they're sometimes put under pressure to do something that they don't want to do at the time. It's not that they don't want to do it.
Who
knows what's going on that they don't want that person in there at the time?
I don't dispute that at all. I don't dispute that at all. And if I didn't articulate that properly, our attempt or the considerations were to oversee the conduct of the employee as opposed to promulgating to the residents that right. So I'm addressing it from one side, and I'm not discounting the concern you raise, and I certainly can't dispute that a large percentage of people don't fully understand their rights, and it may, you know, whether it's a law enforcement officer or, as you've indicated, some type of enforcement or inspection officer. I don't dispute that there's probably a very wide gap in people's understanding of their rights in that situation.
Can I say something? The last time
no,
we had
no.
a
no.
Okay. When they're
yeah.
done.
All right.
The thing I originally was trying to get at is basically this should be borough policy and procedure. Ordinance seems to me to be very way out there telling a borough employee that they're not allowed to go into somebody's house by ordinance. I don't know. I would think most of them know it, that you can't commit any legal trespass by entering somebody's residence. But I guess if you don't, that could be a problem, especially if you're an experienced tax collector. I would think you would understand that you can't do that. If you don't understand that you can't do that, then I would be looking at why she may be employed in the borough if she doesn't understand she can't enter someone's house illegally. So it looks like there's a lot of paperwork in it to make an ordinance when most of it is just policy. But if you're going to take the time and effort that everybody put into it, let's add stuff for the protection of the homeowner as well. Is just basically what I'm asking.
Well, can we amend this at some point?
After public comment, we'll have a discussion. And then.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you.
Jay Wojcik, 445 mm-hmm. Littlebrook. Just a quick comment. I remember back to when we had last township evaluation. Someone came to our residence. My wife was brand new. She's from the Bronx, not a Jersey girl. And the person was a contract assessor. and basically said, you have to let me in right now or I'm going to assess you at whatever I decide to assess you at. So she wasn't aware that she could say, come back. So to back up what Jeff had said, I think there really is not enough information for the residents to understand they don't have to have that happen when somebody shows up your door immediately. Mm-hmm. So just wanted to state that that had actually happened.
Thank you very much. Any other comments from the public? Seeing no other comments from the public, is there a motion to close the public hearing?
I make a motion to close the public hearing.
I'll second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. So now committee discussion. And just to be clear, this ordinance has been published in the paper, so we can't tonight modify this ordinance. What we can do is vote not to do we have to vote not to adopt it or just take no action?
You could take no action, but yeah, any substantive change would have to be would require re-advertising.
Yep. So I guess the question is, I think a valid point has been made, whether we want to revisit the drafting of this and include some of those rights, especially for the current situation, but also for the revaluation contractors. Obviously, this we can't do it on the fly. This, as you pointed out last week,
that's what I would like to do.
This is heavily regulated by state and county.
My only thought on this, and more about what Jay had said, is with the reevaluation is, I understand also about the people's right, but I think that's spelled out in other areas, and that's not the intent of this ordinance, is to explain people what their rights are. I think, though, it's how our employees manage and deal with those rights.
That was the perspective, I acknowledge the
right
comments made, but that was the perspective from which
right
it was drafted.
And so that's the direction. It was how to. My thought here is more along the lines: is it worth having in here than as part of the ordinance? We had talked about it more in the policy, but maybe we put it in the ordinance. Is that there is a policy on how our employees, that they have to make contact or have one, two attempts of contact to a homeowner prior to showing up at the door,
and
have proof of some. But I don't know how we manage that wording. But I think,
right,
and how we proof that we've called you once and we've sent a letter once and we've done these items and now we're knocking on your door.
And the issue there as well is that some of these functions are under direct supervision of a county person.
Right. They're out of our realm.
And so the question is how we craft an ordinance that can be enforced, or do we interactively work with the county to make sure that that's, I think the goal is shared.
Right.
And then the practical, the practical implementation of it as well.
Right. I mean, I think maybe that's the scenario, like I said, we talked about it as being policy, but maybe it needs to be in the ordinance, especially if it goes to the revaluation thing. Our employees, yes, should definitely know this and should handle themselves in a way, but a contractor wants to get a job done as quickly as possible so they
exactly
make money.
Exactly.
But we don't want to, so...
Right, and like I said, that's
if it's
that's
here in this
clear
ordinance and say this is what you have got to hear, you've got to make a phone call first, you've got to send a letter, or you've got to do this. And
exactly, that's that's the challenge that I see, because for the reval contract, which is going to be very expensive in the first place, I think it has to be a balance between the cost to the township and getting the right convenience and to the homeowners. For example,
right,
if we demand it by ordinance, telephone calls, I'm
right
sure that's one price. If we say
right
you send a postcard saying that, on this day our people are going to be in your area, and maybe they can knock out 30% of them on a first visit with a postcard, and as I understand it, last time they left cards in the door to say, please call this number to schedule a follow-up. I'm sure there's a different price for all of that. And so once it's
yeah
in an ordinance, then we've got
true
an order problem. And that goes to the question as well, why this became an ordinance. The first thought was, well, let's create a resolution, let's create a policy, and then it was pointed out that would have to be renewed each January as part of the reorg. And
right
so we settled on things that we thought would be,
right,
would last for the next decade or whatever. Okay,
Yeah, well, we're going to need to do some work on this because
this is going to need some work, yeah.
Our residents' personal privacy trumps whether it's going to cost a little more money or not to get this done. That's my opinion.
I think there's a way to handle yeah. both. Is what I'd like to strive sure. for before I say yeah. let's just double the price.
Also,
well, that might not be true. You don't know if it's going to.
That's what I don't know.
We don't.
I don't know.
The reevaluation.
But I think we need to look at that. I'm
well, I think before we maybe before we go to the next step, maybe is it worth contacting some of these companies that do reval and say, how do you contact residents? What is your policy right now on mm-hmm. your company policy to help us not overdo or
I know
live within what
the assessor because it's already. It's coming in January. The assessor has already got proposals, so there's information about it. I don't have it.
Yeah, it might be worth, before we go here, to find out what is
yeah,
there.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. We need to interactively...
And they say if it's not there, you need to make them aware that they need to have something to you.
Or find out from them what was... If there's other towns that require it, what is that value that it adds to this to it? If you require a phone call, require a mailer, require whatever... a phone call would probably be difficult. The postcard type scenario is probably the most likely one that I would say they would do. And I mean, if it's sent out to all residents as some kind of whatever, verifiable mail or whatever, and they didn't get it,
well, they need the card and they come back.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's also protecting that they're not invading anyone's privacy,
right?
Unannounced.
You can only do so much.
We also have a township website. We can put some
right.
information
well,
on that. Yeah.
I think the reval is going to require a lot of education.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Newsletter.
Yes. Yeah, we're going to have a public relations approach to that.
And
that proactively.
That is in these contracts. Before, that
right.
There are
it's an arm of it. Mm-hmm.
So, Matt, did you say we should proactively vote no, or should we just...
I need some guidance first before we do that. I'm not clear as to if we're... The goal is to revise it to include the issue I don't know
that we want to do that.
Yeah, and I don't know if I'm in a position where I'd say either way until I know what is some other policy.
I just want to make sure if the expectation is for me to draft a revision that I give clear guidance. Okay.
No, I think it's for us to work with you on.
We fulfilled our obligation by having the public hearing as was noticed. If it's really to vote it, it's got to be reintroduced anyway. So you vote no, or there's no motion and second, it's going to die tonight.
Okay. So is there a motion to adopt ordinance 2018-09?
So without a motion, it will fail.
Okay. Adoption of ordinance 2018-09 has failed. Next item of business, Resolution 64, 2018, resolution awarding a contract for rock salt. The situation is that the Hunterdon County Board of Chosen Freeholders went out for bid on a umbrella rock salt contract. We need this resolution in order for us to participate in the cooperative pricing system. And the price for rock salt this year is $50.59 per ton, which is down a dollar or so from last year. I don't remember the precise number. So is there any discussion or a motion for Resolution 6418?
I'll make a motion to approve Resolution Number 64, 2018 for resolution awarding a contractor for rock salt.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Next is Resolution 65, 2018, renewing plenary retail consumption license, specifically for Onorosa Inc. at 282 Route 513 for the year 2018 and 2019, the 2018-2019 year. Any discussion? Is there a motion for Resolution 65, 2018?
I'll make a motion to approve Resolution Number 65, 2018 for plenary retail consumption license for Onorosa.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Abstain.
Yes.
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 Yes. Next, under old business, is the Lebanon Township Fire Department 2018 donation. A couple of months ago, in our budget, we approved and appropriated an $80,000 donation. Several meetings ago, we voted to provide them $50,000 of that donation. There was a little timing issue, so now the proposed motion would be to complete our donation with a $30,000 donation to the Volunteer Fire Department. Any discussion, or would anyone make that motion?
I'll make a motion to approve the donation for the 2018 donation to the Lebanon Township Volunteer Fire Department.
For the balance of $30,000?
For the balance of $30,000.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Next item of old business is a couple of meetings ago we approved putting out advertisements for DPW candidates. We've gotten a good number of applications. Mr. Wonder, who's losing his voice, that's why I'm doing some of the speaking here, and our DPW manager has narrowed that down to 5 applications that they would like to have the committee interview, and the proposal would be, if everyone's available on October 2nd, that we convene a special meeting at the time that's most convenient for everyone, 5, 6, 7 o'clock.
What day was that?
October 2nd.
Tuesday.
It's a Tuesday.
Is there a plan? No.
Yeah.
No, that's right. Yeah, that's good.
About 6 or 6:30?
The proposal is for October 2nd at 6 or 6:30. Is there a preference among the rest of the committee?
How many people are we going to interview?
There are 5.
5?
So
yeah. I would say.
Assumption is 20 or so minutes a person, so hour and a half.
I would say 6:30. Either one.
6 is fine with me.
First step is, are all 5 available on October 2nd? So we're just looking for the time? Okay, that works or doesn't work?
I'm not sure about that date. But you can go ahead and make a move with it.
Okay.
If everyone else is acceptable, I'll change an appointment I have.
Is it October 2nd? It sounded like if we're looking at times, that works for everybody, except potentially you.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then 6 or 6:30?
Either one's fine.
6:30 then?
Motion on the table for special meeting on October 2nd at 6:30?
Yeah.
Is that a second?
Yes.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. So 6:30 on October 2nd, special meeting. And for the public, we'll immediately go into closed session for interviews of DPW employees. The next item on the agenda is flow through from last week's discussion on the agenda, on the ordinance 2018-09 regarding consent for employees entering the township. This is to develop the professional standards for the inspections to put more policies and the like behind the ordinance. I don't know what level of discussion we wanted to have tonight.
Basically, what I was just going to say is, you know, it's very difficult to find these standards, professional standards. There's a lot of methodology, but not PR type, how to work with people, how to, you know, work with the residents. So I looked high and low, and I found this template, believe it or not, it was from Rhode Island, but it's standard information that is used during inspections in general, administrative inspections. So what I did was I sent it out to everybody to just, you could tear it apart, rip it apart. It's just something, it's a stab. And there were some things in here, obviously, when they talk about criminal warrants.
Right.
It's administrative warrants. I just didn't make any changes. I basically, you know, just top-lined it as to what the policy was for and then just attached everything that was in that particular template.
I have 2 observations to try to start getting this sort of actionable.
Mm-hmm.
One is, I believe this is outside the scope of the retainer that we have with Gebhardt and Kiefer. I think we'd really be pushing our luck to ask him to develop these standards. So I think part of what we should do tonight would be to authorize additional legal work. And as was discussed last week, the policies and procedures are highly constrained by state statute and county regulation in the first place. So I think I'm not saying that that's necessarily the first step. I think there's a lot of work that can be done.
That's what I'm saying.
But I think it's going to need review at some point.
Eventually, it's going to need review.
I
don't know how you want to handle it, Matt, but I would. This goes hand in hand with forming the subcommittee
to
sit down, hammer it. There are state statutes we can look at to do it, to get it fine-tuned, to save money so he doesn't have to start from scratch.
Exactly.
But in order to draw a roadmap, so to speak, I did review it. I reviewed mm-hmm. what you sent. Thank you. And the one observation is in New Jersey, we need to be aware of is the protections and limitations of the New Jersey Tort Claims Act. And the above-the-line information, so to speak, I have. That's mm-hmm. policy decision, and I defer to the committee's wishes. Mm-hmm. With regard to the disclaimer, so to speak, we need to be cognizant that we can't limit individuals' rights to take action against us in ways other than what the Tort Claims Act
That was in the disclaimer out. Section?
Yeah, you're talking yeah. About? Okay, so that, yeah, that's fine. And again, so yeah. So all I'm saying is we need to be aware and guided that we create additional obligations or duties on behalf of the township and through our employees. We're going to be held to them, and mm-hmm. I think that's the intent. And the I'm just saying in reviewing what was submitted that we can't also say, but this doesn't give anybody any rights, because I think the intent, as discussed tonight, is to not just recognize existing rights if they're expanded, but to make it known to the residents what they are, mm-hmm. so that there will be, you know, we can't do that and then also say, but nobody's getting any additional rights out of this, because it actually contravenes what we're trying to do. And there's case law on both municipalities and county level governments not being able to create their own immunities, so to speak. So that's my going into it guidance. That is contained within the retainer.
I was going to say, well, this is what I'm wondering, because I know that the retainer, it's complex items outside of the retainer that we're supposed to do ad hoc payments for. Is this going to be considered complex?
Well, how's it?
I remember that.
It certainly has the potential to be so, as we've discussed this for the last 2 meetings. And just there's a lot of interplay between where we want to go and all the factors that we're taking in, both factual and legal, both state and local and constitutional. So
and keep in mind too, this particular subcommittee, I have it here as a professional standards, but we really need to review this against all the petitions, because we may not be able to hold a statutory person to some of these things. And I've been doing a lot of work on this.
There are and that's what I probably inartfully alluded to before, is there's different uniform law enforcement also. It's another distinction, and statutory employees and outside contractors, and it does vary widely. So I mean, it is there are a lot of competing interests that we're trying to address all at once.
So the motion would be to open it up to, because if we create this and then Matt can't review it because we didn't say he could spend the money,
right,
then it's we can't use it. So we're opening up, we're making a motion to have Matt say that we will offer him money to
outside of the retainer. So when the subcommittee feels they're ready to get advice, and it may be first a half an hour and then to keep on track and do some more work.
Right.
I think we kind of look to you as what, and I'm not asking for the umbrella.
I would say that if you're going to do it in this fashion, is to, as we usually do, is impose a cap.
Yeah.
And I would ask you, if you could, to do an upfront cap, even if it's really small. I would hate to have some observations that could either prevent or require you to go down a certain road, and you spend hours and hours or weeks on it, and then I come in and say, oh, you can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, it can be very limited up front to at least establish, or we can, you know, we can do that at another meeting, not tonight, where I can give you that. And, you know, like I said, I just think that I would hate to have all that wheel spinning, and then I come in and say, oh, well, that's preempted. And you're like, well, we spent 14 hours discussing that one point.
And you don't mean give her and keep her 14 hours.
No, you guys. Yeah, I mean you guys. Yeah.
No more 2:27 a.m.
Because I'm thinking of
outline with high points of here what we think are interesting, and go, what
what are the restrictions associated right. with these line items that we're considering.
And let me tell you, I mean, I looked at statutes. I looked at professional organizations that these people work with. They were so broad, especially the professional ethics type. They were so broad, you might as well not even do that.
Right, you drive.
So you need, right. if you want to have some meat to it, you need to some use teeth. Something. Teeth. Yeah.
Yeah, some with specifics.
Right. So it, because if we could have used something in the statutes or that already existed and was legally approved, I would have never given this out. So. Right.
No, understood.
So what I'm hearing is we're going to need legal review.
Yes.
We need to put an hourly. How many hours we feel that's right. going to be.
As the first stage.
As a first step. Mm-hmm. The initial contact and maybe a meeting or so after.
Does 3 hours get us far?
Yeah, three hours certainly gets us there. And mm-hmm. it would get us there in a, you give me parameters, I give you a response, and then we discuss it. And, you know, and that would certainly be adequate. And like I said, I need more input as exactly what the end goal is. And
right.
you guys need to come to that issue before I can, and simultaneously I can say, mm-hmm. here, like I said, Tort Claims Act is something we need to be aware of right away. Mm-hmm. And the New Jersey, as we've already discussed, there's just a lot of competing interests, and I would like to not see you spend. I know how diligent everybody up here is, and I can see you go, oh, you can't, you know. And somebody say, oh, spent the last 2 weeks putting that all together.
Well, and so then the second part of this bullet point is that we have to form this subcommittee,
yep.
and I thought it would be good if Mike and I partnered on this. If
Unless anyone else wants to volunteer. And I only said because I do have a lot on my plate, and if anyone feels an expertise in the area...
I would.
Okay.
If the committee thinks that's good,
I'm fine with it.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So do we need a motion to establish the subcommittee and then a separate motion for the...
I would believe that the mayor would appoint the subcommittee, correct?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Right, so that's
and then a motion for the retainer or the hours.
So the subcommittee is appointed. Committeewoman Kohler and Committeeman Wonder. And the motion before us then would be to authorize them to authorize Gebhardt and Kiefer's services 3 hours toward the professional standards development.
I'll make the motion for the 3 hours for this professional standards subcommittee to utilize Gebhardt and Kiefer for up to 3 hours. That makes sense.
Without coming back. You have to come back after that.
Is there a second?
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 On a positive note, this incident does give us the opportunity to improve our policy.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Unless I think we're done with that discussion, then I'll go on to new business. First item of new business is the shared service agreement for Class 3 Special Law Enforcement Officers, so-called SLEOs. We entered such an agreement a meeting or two ago with Voorhees High School, supplying two officers there. The agreement we have before us now is very similar. This is with the Lebanon Township School District to provide a Class 3 officer at Woodglen School and a second Class 3 officer at Valley View School. Same economic terms, fully compensated by our sister organization. So in this case, our taxpayers are paying for both sides of it, but it's coming off of the school budget to reimburse the township for salaries as well as all the materials and the like. With the one difference, just logistically, for Voorhees, there's no police car provided. For Woodglen and Valley View, we need transportation because it's a car that doesn't need to be on the road regularly. It's just short transportation. We have the former chief's vehicle that was recently replaced because that was getting old with a lot of miles on it, and the thought is that without charge to our sister school, we would let those special officers use that car. So my understanding is that the school board would take this up at their, I believe, October 9th meeting, but it's been agreed between the attorneys, and it's now before us. Any discussion or questions? Or is there a motion to enter the shared service agreement for special or class 3 law enforcement officers with the Lebanon Township School District.
I'll make the motion to go into the shared service agreement for class 3 law enforcement officers with the Lebanon Township School District.
I'll second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Next is also a shared service agreement with the Lebanon Township School District. For the last couple of years, we've formalized our relationship where the township DPW does the mowing at the school, the snow plowing. We repair potholes in their parking lots and the like. And for those services, the school board pays to the township $20,000 per year. Again, it's the same taxpayers. It's really just formalizing where the expenses are recognized in our township. So, unless there's any discussion, otherwise the motion would be to renew the agreement between the Township of Lebanon Board of Education and the Township of Lebanon.
And I'm sorry, to sure. authorize the mayor.
To authorize the mayor, sorry.
I'll make the motion for the agreement between the Township of Lebanon and the Lebanon Township School Board for the shared services items. And for the mayor to sign.
I'll second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. The next is a request from the Friends of Memorial Park at their Fall Fest event for a state helicopter to land at that event. That's on September 29th. The insurance requirements that need to be included in the motion if we're going to grant that approval is that the state needs to provide a certificate of insurance to the township, with the exception that the state won't name the township as an additional insured, and also that we will provide proper safety measures during that landing period. Is there anything you'd like to add?
Yeah,
Charlie Fortenbacher from the park.
Yeah, Charlie Fortenbacher, Schleicher Road, Lebanon Township Park. We're going to be coning off a 100-foot diameter on a junior vice football field for them to land.
And did you get the 100 feet from them? Is that what they told you?
Yeah, Jack Yale set it up for us, okay. And I got all the dimensions and everything. So
okay.
We're actually going to make a landing zone for them. They're going to be coming around 3 o'clock in the afternoon. They'll be landing. They might be staying the whole day. It's the medevac unit, so if they get a call, they're out of there. Mm-hmm. They might just touch down and leave. Mm-hmm. But basically, we're going to make a landing zone for them to come down. I'm going to be up there. No one's going to be allowed anywhere near the helicopter until they land, until the rotors roll off.
Oh, okay.
Then they're going to give like a little presentation, you know, of what that helicopter does. And the kids not go in it, but they'll be around it. And then we'll do the same thing when they take off. When they take off, we'll get everybody back towards the pavilion, and they can go on their way. Hopefully, they'll stay all day. You know, mm-hmm. We're going to feed them, and, you know, unless they're busy. They might just touch down and then take off again.
Mm-hmm.
So that's basically it.
That sounds like a great attraction.
Yeah, we tried it last year. They were busy. This year, we got it a little earlier, and Jack was able to coordinate it. And so it should be fun.
Yeah.
It should be good. Weather, you know.
Yeah. Unfortunately, people who pay close attention may remember we authorized the landing of a military Black Hawk helicopter for the Gembak veterans. Unfortunately, it was a very cloudy day. The ceiling was too low, and that had to be canceled. So is there a motion to authorize the state helicopter landing at the Friends of Memorial Park Fall Fest on September 29th with the insurance requirements that I mentioned earlier?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Next is on the agenda is the review of the township form of government, which I have no background on, so I turn that.
Yeah, it was just a couple of paragraphs. I mean, considering the events of the last month, I just thought it would be good to have a refresh to the committee of the form of government that we have in this particular township. And this is the source information is the New Jersey Local Government Handbook, as well as New Jersey Statutes 48-63-6, Powers of the Committee, Township Form of Government. Lebanon Township operates under the Township Form of Municipal Government. The Township Form of Government is the oldest form of municipal government in New Jersey, having been first established by the Township Act of 1798. The committee may elect a chairperson from its ranks that will be known as the mayor of the township. The mayor has no other special powers under the township form of government except for those powers granted under general law and limited appointment powers. The strong council form of government that we are is government by committee, with the legislative and executive responsibilities of the municipality vested in the township committee as a whole. In addition, the township committee has the power to investigate any activity of the municipality. That's all I want to say. Refreshing.
Well, I'm glad you know that now.
Good.
What year is that? 1798.
Any other discussion?
Nope.
Okay. The next item on the agenda is, I will turn it over to our emergency management liaison.
All right. Well, we have a letter in front of you from our emergency management coordinator, Alan Gracie, that he is stepping down and will not seek a new appointment. So we're going to have to go out and look for someone to fill that responsibility. If the committee doesn't mind, while I'm here, continue to look and interview individuals and place some names in front of you. But I would ask the rest of the committee and encourage them, if they have feelers out and people that are interested in that, to notify Karen, and then Karen can notify me, or at a committee meeting we can get together with some names and stuff like that. It's an important position. It's a thankless position, but we need to have it filled. So if the committee doesn't mind, I'll continue moving forward with that.
Are any either of the deputies interested?
I'm going to make those calls.
And it's good to bring up at this point that the Office of Emergency Management book that we have is going to expire. The information will expire August 19th of 2019, so it's not too early to start looking.
But that will be a criteria for the new OEM
coordinator.
Exactly. They have to jump right into
that. Yeah.
And my understanding is that as we put that feeler out, it's a three-year term.
It's a three-year term. It's a mayoral appointment.
Yep. And a stipend is paid.
It is a stipend that's paid. I think it's $5,200 off the top of my head. $5,248, mm-hmm. something like that.
You're good with numbers.
I'll make a motion that we accept the resignation of our OEM coordinator with regrets.
I'll second.
Served us very well.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Just to be clear, he's finishing out the term.
Yeah,
yes.
Exactly.
December 31st.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's not asking to be reappointed.
Understood.
That's true. He's not really resigning. He's just not being. Yeah. So next on the agenda is the presentation of vouchers.
I got to go. We got a full fest meeting.
So
we're good with the helicopter.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
That was approved.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
I only have one DPW. It's more materials, asphalt. The amount of $2,021.86.
I have one that qualifies for Gephardt and Kiefer. It's for the general services rendered for $1,833. As the retainer is. That's it.
Anticipating the donation of the fire company, I have one for $30,000 to the Lebanon Township Volunteer Fire Department. I have two Van Cleef Engineering Associates services provided to date for conversion of our tax maps. Current invoice is $11,347.85. And I have for the New Jersey State Health Benefit Plan for the September benefits, including retirees, $37,319.76.
Nothing to report this time? Nothing that qualifies?
Nothing that qualifies either. But I will make a motion to approve the vouchers.
Sorry.
Any discussion? Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay, then several items of correspondence to note. First is we received a thank you letter from the Hunterdon County Sheriff's Office thanking us for the $500 donation to Project Lifesaver. I think it's a good opportunity to, again, just publicize that the county sheriff runs what he calls Project Lifesaver, places bracelets on people who tend to wander, making locating them much easier. And I think there's a question to ask why it's funded by donation rather than by the freeholders, but that's how they do it. Next is a memorandum for us regarding the townwide fall cleanup day, sometimes called Dumpster Day. This has been scheduled for October 20th, 2018, from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. This is paid for out of our Clean Communities grant. We should do a little good word of mouth. We'll put this on the website, but we missed publicizing it in the township newsletter, so we have to make sure people are aware
of
this.
And the week before is our electronics recycling.
Right, so we'll be passing out some flyers there, maybe even at the Day in the Park or the Fall Fest, since make sure people are aware of that. But that's been very well received. I believe the plan is for 5 dumpsters, and last year we filled all 5, including one is for a scrap metal dumpster. And it's at the DPW building on Newport Road. Okay, next is correspondence meeting minutes of the August 19th Recreation Commission meeting. Anything you'd want to highlight?
Nope.
Next are the minutes of the May 10th, 2018 historians meeting. Anything the liaison would like to highlight from that?
Just woke me up. Well, we did have a meeting, and I think that the Squires Point group is getting very close to kick off the museum edition, which is a nice kind of gesture and everything, and I think they're thrilled about it, and I'm looking forward to that happening. I'd like to ask the committee that since construction may be starting relatively soon, and we had talked about the septic system, which the town is obligation is to do, would it be in the minds of the committee if I was to reach out to Steve Reese and kind of dust off those prices that we got for the septic systems and see if we maybe want to consider moving forward with that while construction is being done?
The only question I have is, are we going to have any kind of an agreement if something goes wrong that the township isn't going to be held liable in the middle of construction for something, to pay for something we're not going to be able to have budgeted for? Not necessarily the septic, but the whole project in general. Because aren't we're turning over the whole construction to the Squires on our municipal-owned building?
The construction is being hired out to a contractor, a certified building contractor in the state of New Jersey with all the proper insurances that will be working on our building.
Okay, but if they find something that needs to be shored up because it's an older building like that and there's not enough money in the 501c3 to pay for it, how does that come back on the municipality? Or does the building just stay like, okay, we have to stop construction, there's a hole in the wall?
There's insurance, the same insurance that the park committee memorandum has. So if the building falls down and someone damaged it to make it fall down, then there's insurance that could be drawn upon. If it turns out that you can imagine a scenario where there's not enough money from the 501c3, which I think should have been considered when the committee granted that permission, I think reasonable scenarios are covered by the construction project.
And I'm just talking because it's older
the
building.
He has to have a liability insurance that meets what we're requesting. Is that not correct? There's a liability insurance that's there.
So that would cover a situation like that where...
Well, maybe not.
Well, yeah. That's what I'm saying. We all know how insurance works. It's you pay for it, and then when you need it, there's exclusions, and there's disclaimers, and there's... The scenario you're citing, my concern would be an argument that there's no, quote, incident, that you're not saying that the builder actually does something wrong.
No.
It's sort of like a change order where they open the building up and they say, you know what, now we need to reinforce this foundation.
Because right. You
we're
never know
what
you're
going to
put it
up on blocks, and we're going to have to shore it up, and it's going to take 30 man hours and $10,000 worth of supplies. I can't say that doesn't present exposure, but as Tom has indicated, for acts of the contractor, we've done everything we can to ensure that we're protected.
You can only go so far with what, you know, there's so many scenarios you can have, but I know we did we have in our bonds value for this project, just not what was some of the quotes came in for. So we do have some leeway if there is some you know, idea that a $10,000 change order is required and it's outside of Squires and what they expected, I think it would come back to us to say that, you know, we do have monies we were going to expend on this project anyway, if it is. But, I mean, it also depends on what it is. It could be, you know, I think that's something Squires Point will have to manage, too. You know,
to remind you, the design that was put in place when the township was building it has specifications which are now passed directly to Squires Point.
Right.
For digging near the foundation has to be done in a certain way. There's buttresses that get put in next to the foundation. So it's been anticipated, as was stated. You can imagine a scenario where you find out, you know, there was an earthquake in... It was built in 1825. There was an earthquake in 1860.
Right.
Nobody knew about hidden damage, and
you
now it gets
know.
Uncovered.
Right. I'm just curious but about it. How does that come back on the town if that happens? And does the CFO have to verify that the funds are there in the 501?
Now we're reopening conditions.
Well, I mean, if you have to... I'm just thinking... I didn't even think about this until now. I'm just, you know, I'm thinking about...
Well,
take the gavel out and hit the darn ground. I'm so sick of the disrespect.
We're not.
Well, Bev, I mean, there's kind of, you know, some, you have to have some faith in this. You know what I mean? But I'm just saying that, you know, that happens, but the plans have been designed accordingly that, you know, there's an overabundance of protection for that limestone or fieldstone foundation. And you have the proper people that are going to do the excavation and so forth. I believe that we're kind of worried about something that more than likely, and, you know, lightning can strike, not going to happen. I think we have to have some faith to move forward. As Marcus said, we had bonded money for this. So there is an avenue to continue if that was the case. So I feel like this is something we should move forward with, you know?
The only thing I could suggest is at the very least the insurance certificate of insurance that they received from the contractor should go down to the insurance broker to have them review it to make sure the town, however best we can be protected, we are, as well as Squires Point.
Yeah, we've done that before.
They should name the township additionally insured.
Exactly. That's not a problem. I don't feel that's a problem.
Yeah. Just to make sure he has the adequate coverage that they would prefer.
Yep. So, going back to the motion before the committee was...
I would like to see if I could talk to Steve Reese and review the bids for the septic design that we had already approved as a committee.
And by the way, the township owns. The township paid for the septic design.
Correct. And that would then see where we are, come back to the committee, see if we can still use the bids that might be 18 months old now, or we have to go through the bidding process again, or if there's anyone else that would like to be included in bidding it. So if you'd just allow me to make those phone calls, so I could get that moving.
I'll make the motion to allow Tom to make the phone calls to Steve Reese to reopen the septic system at the museum issues.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 And I'll abstain. Next is the tax collector's report for the month of August 2018, with the tax bills having gone back out. Receipts are back up nicely. So taxes received toward 2018, $5,323,414.10. Taxes from credited to the year 2017, $28,925.51. Taxes prepaid for 2019, $51,293.88. Interest collected of $7,565.09. Tax sale costs, we had a tax sale cost $479.57 for total receipts of $5,411,678.15. Next on the correspondence list are upcoming recreation events. Did you want to highlight those?
Saturday, September 29th, participation in Parks Fall Festival. Friday, October 12th, first responder meet and greet.
Which I understand they're coordinated with the fire department, the police department.
Mm-hmm.
Has a nice public relations outreach. Next item is the fire department labeled Fire Department Auxiliary Volunteers for the Pancake Breakfast. The fire department has, I think, holds a great community event on, and I don't have the email in front of me, the... I believe it's the second Sunday of the month, and they are looking for volunteers that would be interested in supporting the firemen and the other volunteers that work on that. We'll be putting it up on the township website, the different opportunities, the different positions that are available, as well as the contact email to Sue Schlesinger if members of the community would like to support that volunteer event.
Would they have chocolate chips this year?
If you bring them, you bring them a bag, they'll make them.
only for dishwashers, I think.
And just for the record, I am a volunteer. So.
And the last item, a late addition, not on your agendas probably, but I will pass this over to the police liaison.
This is because we're going to have a number of our more senior staff out for a number of overlapping time periods. Jack Gale would like to promote Ron Unker to corporal.
Actually, I think it's not that he would like to.
It's in his
chain of command power, right. So he's
it's within her his purview.
He's designated, I think, is the
yes.
word.
Yeah. He's designating Jack Unker as a corporal. This way, that's a clear chain of command within the system in that squad. It doesn't change his rate of pay or anything like that. It's really about chain of command items because we won't have a sergeant on that squad possibly during some time periods. So more just information.
So congratulations to Corporal Unker.
Unkers.
Congratulations.
This time we will open the meeting to public comments on any topic anyone would like to make. Is there a motion to open?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Any member of the public?
Lori Hoffman, Buffalo Hollow Road. To Squire's point, when we presented it, so if it's something of us on that building, we're covering the cost. If it's unforeseen that is wrong with the building, then we would address. Other than that, it's all your questions should have been addressed when we proposed it to the.
So what you're saying is the chairman doesn't have to pay?
Huh?
Then the chairman doesn't have to pay?
When you I see on your things that you approved for the tax maps, have they been done?
They're in process. That's a first installment.
Okay.
I don't know the detail of.
So I had seen the assessor because my property is listed wrong. They changed my original.
I don't know the exact details. We'd have to ask the assessor, but it was labeled as tax conversion, and as I remember, the contract. Did require a conversion from our, I think they're at least a decade old paper maps into a CAD design, and I don't know if the modifications start after the conversion or the exact details of where the engineers are.
So then at what point are they going to be able to, see what I don't like is that somebody in the assessor's office just disregarded my original survey from 1949 and let the state come in 1988 and change my boundaries. And so
I don't think we're going to be able to address that.
So a map, because I just recently got a map from Steve Reese, and that's where I seen that the township tax maps were changed to that. So now that I see that you're doing new tax, because I've already talked to the assessor, I brought my survey, and the letter from Eldon Allen telling me that they were wrong. So now that you're already doing that, am I going to have you change that, or will that stay on until the next time you ever come up to?
My understanding is the exercise, this tax map exercise has to be done to be ready for the revaluation next year. So mm-hmm. when they go through the tax map, that the acreage and things are correct. So my understanding is that the assessor collects yours and others' modifications that have to be done. Obviously, I don't know the exact procedure for how that gets into the tax map, but it's an outside engineering firm.
Yeah, but now it's been done. I know you're digitizing, but I think it's been more than 10 years since the tax maps have been updated.
Yes, yes.
So if yous are putting my property lines wrong, do I have to wait another 10 years for yous to correct that?
I don't know the answer.
Okay.
How much of a difference was there?
12 feet. The only reason the state park accepted it is when Victor threatened to cut down all the trees on their property, they said it was ours. Literally, they took my driveway away. They said I have to only walk a little path up to my house. Okay, on the bills. We're paying on the animal control. We're paying because of an injured bird. Why? $220.
I can send you the report. The police had to deal with it first, and they ended up having to go down there and try to wrangle the thing. A resident called in about a heron that was in the middle of the road, and they had the cones. And then the resident came down to police headquarters and was complaining about them not really doing things. And I guess wild fishing game. What did you say?
No.
Was it hurt or was it just a bird?
It was hurt, and then it ended up on the people's property. So then they had to come and get it. And I don't know if they took it to the Raptor Trust or the other place in Pittstown. I don't know if it was Woodlands Wildlife. But I saw the same thing on there, and I read up on it to see what it was about. But apparently
But we're absolutely followed procedure through the police.
Yeah, they did. Yeah. They did. I mean, this is why we have the kind of animal control organization that we have. So it's not just cats and dogs, because every once in a while you get this call about something like that. Now, normally wildlife would take over. I don't know why they didn't, but there was a reason. So.
And then we're going to pick up stray cats.
As I understand it,
there's a lot of stray cats around.
My understanding, we don't pick up stray cats; we pick up injured cats. Is that
correct? Yeah, and
I don't know if it's injured stray cat because they eventually euthanized it.
They will come and get items, cats, dogs.
Maybe that has to be reviewed with the police. Well, because I believe the township policy was cats wander and change.
You try telling a resident no. That's a lot of what's going on. So we have to talk about this whole animal control thing. And the contracts are coming up for renewal, and I have some suggestions. And I've also met about some other things to help with the costs.
Okay.
So we'll
take that as a future item.
Yeah, I was planning on mid-October.
I'm missing a black cat named Jerry, by the way.
Are you?
My neighbor has a black cat.
Look on Facebook.
Got a little white spot right here.
Yeah.
Jerry.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, right now we're on an
he's living with my
per
mouse,
incident
Tom.
Type of a contract for small towns, but what's happening in this town seems to be changing, and you have to look at how you may.
Well, it seems like every single month or every meeting we're paying all this money for animal control.
I know.
For stray animals, the ones that's not even, or people's animals. If a cat gets hit by a car, we're fixing it.
The residents are calling the police. The police are following the procedure.
Is that the procedure? So if I complain that I have a cat at my house that's attacked my cat, I can call the police and they'll come take it?
Well, on an individual basis, I'm sure that I'm not going to tell you exactly what situations they're going to handle. That's something Jack wants to be the first point of contact. Now, he may change his mind on that.
So you have an ordinance for this animal control, right? Mm-hmm. So do you have policies, what you're going to do with this whole other ordinance you tried to do tonight? So you're saying there's an ordinance and then there's policy.
What ordinances are we talking about now? Which one are you talking about?
The animal control. So you have an ordinance. So now after there's procedure. So there's a procedure, set procedure of when. I know it's to call the police, but does the police department have a procedure of what animals they'll go after and what ones they won't?
And I'm just going to say, I think this is, we agreed we're going to take this up at a future time because I'm learning a lot as well, but I think it's beyond the scope of public comment.
So it's not a set procedure already?
We're going to take it up at a future meeting.
Okay. So now, we'll just go to procedures. Is there a set thing that we can come in and read what the procedures in the town are? Are they written, or are they just... Like, isn't there a handbook for your employees?
Yeah. No.
No.
Are you talking about an administrative code?
No, it's on procedures. But now it's the whole thing of, like, with the one ordinance you do now, you're saying the next thing. So you didn't want everything in the ordinance because you're going to do it in procedure. So now you're having a committee to do these procedures. So my thing
that's
is...
That's for a specific application. My understanding, and correct me, but the town since 1731... has had certain procedures and policies in writing, certain that are understood, and it's a matter of codifying things as they come up. It's a huge undertaking to do it all at once, but when issues come up, we we address it.
Okay, because right now this committee is basically brand new committee.
No, we've got a 12-year veteran.
Well, 12 years, is, you know.
Well, in from the, before from 17.
Everyone was on the.
From 1798, it's relatively new.
But I mean, who's so like Karen? How long have you been here? So it's, did she learn everything what the previous one did? Because you're saying it's. Just
well, I hope not, because the previous
first of all, there's that book, Lori, The Code of the Township of Lebanon. Be my guest. It's this thick. You can go through there and get a wealth of information.
But that's the ordinances.
Yeah.
Right, but it does.
There's a lot of detail and mm-hmm. policy. Am I correct? Some written, some not written. And mm-hmm. and I don't know if we're different than other towns or not on that.
Well, they say.
I don't know if it's the procedure.
For example, when we reviewed the ordinance for authorization to enter, if I recall, Matt, you said you did sort of a search of towns and found out of 300 municipalities in New Jersey, only a handful had written.
Had addressed it, correct.
I think there's a lot of policy that gets developed by the individual professionals and experts and.
Or by incidents that happen in.
And that's part of the operation of a township.
How does anyone like me know that? If you can't write it. So if you're brand new. How would you know to where it is?
That's a challenge for all of us.
Okay. So on this ordinance that you didn't vote on today, if this is an ordinance just telling you what your employees are going to do, is that an ordinance or should that be just a township policy?
As I said, a policy would need to be renewed annually, as we were advised. And
even
so
if it's an employee policy, like you are doing this for people that you employ, so you're giving them
and contractors and the like. But anyway,
yeah, but yeah. We don't have ordinance for every single thing they do.
No, that's
so. That's why I don't understand why
that, that was a factor that was considered, and the intent is to make it permanent and to make it again a baseline for employee behavior and to strengthen. Committee's ability to enforce it and to make it clear and completely unambiguous to both.
So is there an ordinance for them not to discriminate against something? They can't.
Well, that was we passed a resolution at the beginning of the year on that topic, and
oh, so you're doing
we mandated that.
That
we annually will pass
so
that resolution.
So it's not something that, like Karen has, you know, in charge of all these employees that, so they have to be in. See, it just seems like this thing mm-hmm. here, an unfortunate situation which they had. So now we're going to spend a lot of money to make some policy just to tell our employees to have common courtesy and knock on someone's door to come in their house.
Well, more of it's focused towards contractors. I think a bigger concern is it brought a light that, you know, we have this revaluation that we have to make sure we have something good in place
for contractors. So this is coming up because of a
yes.
situation that happened.
Absolutely.
You didn't think about it before then.
No.
So this situation happened.
I mean, there's a lot of subtleties here. Everyone understood that that is the way business should mm-hmm. be conducted. Then we said, well, where is it written? Well, it's actually not written. But it doesn't mean it wasn't a policy, whether it was formally adopted or not formally adopted. There's a lot of gray area. That's the township we have.
You're going to do a committee, and you're going to get very detailed into it that you're going to have an attorney do it. You're going to spend a lot of money to just tell employees and not.
No, that's my point. It's going to be broader than that. It's going to be the issues of how do you reasonably determine if the person gave you authority to enter their house, if that's a person with authority.
Where I have a problem is we're becoming too regulated, too minutely regulated. And here now
And 2 minutes ago you just said, where can I go to read all the regulations?
Well, because then the situation which you are, because then it's arbitrary. You're saying there's procedures. And then you don't have them written down.
Because we have limited
so
budget.
So then why isn't this the same thing? Because
this rises clearly to a level where it's critically important. You know, I think we have a policy that our DPW trucks are painted blue. I don't think we would, have an ordinance to require that. But for protecting mm-hmm. residents' rights, I think we have an ordinance to protect that.
It just seems that it's getting too. You're going down. For you to give 3 hours to attorney, you're going to have.
Well, a committee many years ago wrote an ordinance to stop a woman from feeding geese.
I know that.
So, I mean...
And they wrote an ordinance about that.
So sometimes it has to be done for for a singular application, and sometimes something like this, as unfortunate as it was, brings to light that it's not a written policy, and it's something that should be. It's something that's, as people transition through our employees and new people come on board, it's, kind of like, hey, we have to have something written in place. And I think it's unfortunate for this family that this happened, but it's brought to light that this more word-of-mouth type scenario should be written. And that's now we have this opportunity. 3 years from now, there may be some whatchamacallit that has always been, hey, we always did this. Well, now we got to think about doing it this way. It's, the committee has to react to situations. We don't typically go through and review every policy because probably 50% of them don't apply anymore, because...
And I think that's a budgetary judgment that this committee makes as well. I mean, as I mentioned, I think it's a $38,000 contract to upgrade our tax maps. I have no idea what it would be if we said we need a law firm to review our ordinances, our policies, every resolution for the last decade to get everything...
I don't know,
written.
I think Mark did that when he first came on.
Well, there are contractors that do that. General Code does that.
Yeah.
For our ordinances. It's thousands of dollars.
Yeah, for the next level down.
Depending, the breadth of the code and the length and, but it's thousands and thousands of dollars. And it takes months and months to be completed. And there's gaps in it where it comes back to us and it's reviewed and it's sent back to them. And it's a whole back and forth. Mm-hmm.
So on this ordinance, just a consideration is when yous are going to offer these IDs of our subcommittees, if we're able to come to Karen and ask for an ID, like when historians did pictures of the houses, we just said we were historians.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I just don't want us to get so bogged down and spend so much money on just to tell someone the courtesy of knocking on the door, and not to let a teenager or someone, a kid, they had to clearly know it was a kid to say that. That just seems a lot of waste to me. That's all.
Well, Bev and Brian work cheap, so we're in good shape.
They're going to hire the attorney who does it.
Yeah, 3 hours. That's nothing.
Oh, okay.
Trust me, I don't want to keep up here.
Margaret Kelly, Jeffrey Lane. We came here a couple weeks ago. We came here again tonight. I think bottom line is that it is getting very large what's happening. That was not the intent. The intent was to just have people have common sense and use it. I also want to state that every other employee in this township who's had to come to my home for something has called me. Hey, Ms. Kelly, can I come over Friday at 10 a.m.? Yes, you can. I know that they didn't have an appointment, and it's not even that. It goes beyond that. It goes beyond someone saying, my parents are not home, and saying, well, that's okay. I have to come in and take pictures. That's why we're all here tonight. So there is a difference. So do I necessarily, I agree that you are doing a lot to make this procedure and, the ordinance and the procedures and all that. At the end of the day, we just wanted to protect our family and our rights, and especially the rights of our children. And also just to say that everybody else in this town has done a great job when they've had to come and do something. So you're not necessarily broken at all. I just want you to remind you of that. We do have a great township, and we do have great employees. So I just wanted to say that.
Thank you very much.
Ron Mikowski, Rocky Run Road. Just a couple quick for you. Professional standards. How many inspections or people do inspections are actually employees of the township? I'm not talking Tewksbury building inspectors.
Right.
I mean, how many?
But they're agents, and you see it covers agents as well, so they're agents. Otherwise, I believe it's the fire official, the tax assessor, and I don't believe the tax collector ever has to make.
Yeah, but don't they come under those other jurisdictions? I know fire
inspections
are done by the state.
And the zoning
officer. It just seems like a little bit overboard, but that's beside the point.
But I think it's, and I appreciate all the comments, that situation was serious and deserves attention.
Right, you're hanging on. But with the
reval coming next year, I think this is a good opportunity for us to recognize what could go wrong with every resident.
So that's what the subcommittee is going to work on.
That's a big part of it as well. Yeah.
Okay. The other thing is one of the committee members made a comment because of the public here was a little concerned about the addition for the museum. It's been going on for how many years now, Laura? They said at the 11th hour, they said, well, what if this happens? That's why they were a little put out over it. The other thing is about the only thing you could really find there that's unexpected would be a cistern. There's no septic in there. There's no oil tanks in there. Possibly a cistern. But that's beside that. So there are some things in. The other thing is I heard that about the bird on Rocky Run Road. That's fish and game.
Whatever happened, fish and game didn't come.
I mean, I thought our animal controller took care of domestic animals and livestock. I was in the impression.
You'll have to talk to Jack.
Well, give me permission, I would. But that's, you see what I'm trying to say? Isn't that what we're supposed to be doing? Domestic livestock is what I've always heard you say. And the other thing is fleas in the library, what happened?
What are you looking at me for?
I'm looking straight ahead. I'm sorry.
It's a building open to the public. I don't think we know exactly what happened.
My point is pets allowed in there?
No. More than a year ago, when there were a flea situation, we restricted dogs. You'll see even a sign here, no dogs in this building.
Yeah.
And we had another bout. So.
What are you going to do?
Exactly. That's it's open to the public.
Try to obey them.
Fleas were... And let me see. That was it. Review of our township former government. Can I just say, who was that for? Is that for us here?
Was
it for the committee?
The committee. I said it's time for a refresher.
Make a comment, please. Mm-hmm. My point is, if it was for your committee, can't you just do it amongst yourselves, discuss things? Why do you have to waste our time to badger each other? That's what it sure sounded like here. And I don't know. I only missed two past meetings, and what's going on? Other than that, you're doing a great job. Thank you. Oh, the other thing is, you might want to start limiting time for
public comment.
Get that from Brian? Old subject.
Any other public comment? With that, is there a motion to close the public comment?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
We will be going into executive session under Resolution 66-2018, several topics. We have a grievance filed by the CWA to discuss. We have a personnel matter related to the tax assessor. We have a personnel matter related to the chief of police. We have an update on a matter of attorney-client privilege related to Little Brook Lane Association, and we have a matter related to personnel policies. Action may or may not be taken. Is there a motion for Resolution 66-2018?
I'll make a motion for Resolution 66-2018 to authorize going into executive session as noted for the items by the mayor.
Is there a second?
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes.